Praise the Lord. I'm still a big God and country guy. And I'm a country boy to boot. But, you know, we're here worshiping freely this morning because folks paid the ultimate price for us. And in seasons like this, now I'm not going to get into it today, but we need to remember we have the right to worship freely. And that's what we're doing here this morning. And it's so good to see. One of the things the last 2 weeks that has blessed me the most is when we're singing and we're worshiping is to hear us singing together. I mean, the way this building is built, it's a little challenging for the sound and all that stuff because of the way everything bounces off the domes. But when you're singing, it's like the domes fill up with your voice. But it's touched my heart because I love to sing and love to worship. And it's just good to be back. We're going to continue to practice social distancing. I mean, we'll be in a continual transition. There will be changes along the way. It won't completely be like this forever. But we do just want to respect others and honor others. And I want you to feel comfortable worshiping where, and you can see that about 40, 50% of our folks still aren't comfortable to come back. And that's okay. That's okay. We want everybody to make that step as they feel comfortable to make that step. But do something for me. Reach out to 10 or 15 people. Let them know that you love them, you care about them. Don't pressure them to be back, but tell them how good it's been. And little by little, we'll even maybe get back, not maybe, we will, to a normal service where we're probably going to sing a little more and shout a little more and preach a little more and get back to these altars. I miss... You know, I'd just love to call all of you to the front for prayer, but we're doing that standing. But anyway, we're just going to keep practicing those things, and the Lord is blessing there. Praise the Lord. Well, we started at Jesus, and we're still online. We're going to stay online. That has been the beauty of this transition, is the online and your faithfulness. In every way, the church is really stepping up. Rock Church is stepping up, but really the church is stepping up around the country. I hear good report after good report after good report. And so just keep being the church. Nobody can keep us from being the church. Not a virus, not a government. When you got Jesus in your heart, nobody can take Jesus, right? And we're not going to let anybody take Jesus and or our freedom to worship. Praise the Lord for that. So we started last week a series called Jesus Is. And we're going to stay in that. I've done character studies on 24 characters in the Bible over the years. And a couple of months ago when this thing hit, I thought, I don't know. I just felt like, why not do a character study on who Jesus is? And so hopefully that'll be and continues to be edifying for you. And good for you, and the word will be rich for you. And I've had a lot of questions these last few months from those folks that may not know Christ. They're wanting to know who Jesus is. And I want to challenge you to share it with them at work. Most of our schools and universities are out now. But tell people who Jesus is. You don't have to be a preacher or a theologian. Just tell them what Christ has done for you, what he's done in your life. Share who Christ is. And I feel like it's a season where we're going to have those opportunities more than we normally do. Praise the Lord. There was a campaign not too long ago. It's actually been a few years ago. And it actually run in Canada as well as the United States by a humanist organization that really don't, they say they don't believe in God. And they spent millions, they gathered resources and spent multi-million dollars to put up billboards and plaster letters on buses. Huge multi-million dollar campaign. And what it said was this: there probably is no God, so relax and get on with your life. That was the whole phrase. And they spent millions and millions and millions of dollars in the U.S. and Canada with this phrase: there probably is no God, So relax and get on with your life. Well, when I read that, and I forget where I found that piece of information, I thought, they still said probably. Right? They did not say definitely. They still said probably. In other words, even those folks, at least in my mind, for whatever it's worth, and it is kind of funny, they weren't 100% sure. Just remember when you're sharing the love of Christ and your testimony, those folks that say there is no God, if I was a betting man, and I'm not, I would bet they're not 100% sure. Because when you study the people groups of the world, you find out that 99% of the people in the world believe in some kind of God. Now, it may not be the true God, you know, Jesus Christ. It may be the little g God, not the capital G God. But you will find out, and you can pull up the research, that close to 99% of everybody in the world believes some kind of God exists. So what this tells me and shows me is that, and we believe this, that without Christ you have this big hole in you that only Jesus Christ will fulfill. Only Almighty God can fulfill that need that's in every human. Can I get one more amen on that this morning? Boy, that's a sweet sound. But it would at least tell us that most people have a desire to know God. And they're reaching for something that feels unreachable or untouchable. I believe deep down in most people, they want to touch God or know the touch of God, to come in contact with the divine. And even in the last 10 years in our life, we've seen people are interested in those kind of spiritual things. Christianity sets itself apart from every other religion and thought in the world by this primary fact. All the religions of the world tell their people that they've got to get to God, find a way to God, work their way to God, be good enough to get to God. And by the way, we can't be good enough, can we? Where Christianity tells us that Almighty God the Father sent God his Son Jesus Christ to earth to touch us. Aren't you glad that Jesus built a bridge to us? And went, yeah. And when we invite Christ into our heart, we can walk over that bridge and know God the Father, God the Son, and because of the Holy Spirit, know the reality of the presence of Jesus Christ. I am so glad Jesus Christ found me, aren't you? Shout to your neighbor 6 feet over and say, I'm glad Jesus got a hold of you. I've had a number of pastors calling me this week that are launching this week because they want to know, they heard we launched, how did it go, blah, 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 blah. And I said, it sure is good to be in the house and hear each other's voices. And I said, my people, although about 40% are staying home, the ones that are showing up have been lively. God came down to us through the person of Jesus Christ. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. And I get emotional. When I talk about Jesus, I get emotional because of what Jesus means to me. I wasn't even that interested in Christ at the time, but he was interested in me. There may be some of you here this morning that are asking yourself, who is Jesus? Jesus is, who is he? Well, I want to tell you, he loves you and he's interested in you this morning. He's a treasure this week I've just reflected on just, there's, thank God even for earthly treasure. It's not our God, it's not our idol, but if you've got a little earthly treasure, it's a good thing, isn't it? Buy you a steak or at least a hot dog, I don't know, you know. I like round steak and I like fillets. It doesn't matter, it really not much to me, but I prefer fillets. It's okay with the things that God's blessed us for and that we've worked for. God gave us the ability to work and earn a way and be blessed and all that. And I'm thankful for the homes and the roofs over our head and the children we have in our households. I mean, golly, we could just stop for the next 15 minutes and just, don't you have a list that you could just thank Him for this morning? And I know we all have trials and situations, but we can always be more thankful for what we do have than what we don't have. And I thought, out of all the wonderful things, even stuff that the Lord has blessed me with, He's the greatest treasure of all. Knowing Him as Lord and Savior, all the earthly treasure and all the earthly stuff pales in comparison to the treasure we find in Christ. Can you clap your hands for that one this morning? So we read in the book of John in chapter 1 in the first few verses, which my whole message will be on. And we'll actually be in the book of John many times because John addresses who Jesus is multiple times. The scripture says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. Take those three verses home and read them every day and ponder on those verses. Some theologians believe it's the greatest condensed version of who Jesus is in three verses in the entire Bible. And they wouldn't be far from the truth if not right on. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And of course, we understand here that it's talking about the person of Jesus Christ if you read the first 18 verses, which we won't do. See, Christianity, and this is basics, but we need to hear basics. Christianity is not just a religion. Christianity is not a philosophy. Christianity is not just a way of life. It is a way of life, but it's not just a way of life. Christianity is not a list of do's and don'ts. Christianity is not a list of you have to do this and you have to do that, although God gives us many guidelines for living that if we obey Him that we certainly get blessed. Christianity is about who Jesus is, the person of Jesus Christ, walking with Jesus Christ, knowing Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, and then walking with Him in relationship daily. Aren't you glad not only did God build a bridge to us and send His Son after He saves us, He wants to be in relationship with us. People get saved and go and they're going to heaven, and that's good, and that's the biggest deal of all the big deals in the scripture. But the good news, He doesn't leave us alone. In John 17, He said, I'm going to the Father, Jesus said, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit so that we can walk in relationship with the person of Almighty God, Jesus Christ. Get up every morning. He'll make an appointment with you once a day or three times a day. I want to challenge you, church, and this is fundamentals. Get to know Jesus. You think you know Him? You can know Him more. You end up knowing Him more. Guess what? You can know Him more. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. So many historical figures, and I thought, and I'm a reader, I try to read 1 to 2 extra books, good books, every month. Don't waste your time on a bad book. Read a good book. This is the best book. But I've studied quite a bit of history. I've probably forgotten more history than I've remembered. History's forgotten a lot of people. But history hasn't forgotten the person of Jesus Christ. Wonder how that happened. I'll tell you how it happened. He's God. God's not going to let us forget who He is. Others fade away into the annals of history, but not Jesus. You know, some folks, and they wouldn't mind if I said it, posted last Sunday afternoon, I think it was, they put Jesus is. That's kind of what we're using for our series. He posted that on Facebook. Mark, when I looked at it, I think it was still Thursday. That's all Mark put up on his Facebook. He had 111 comments. And that was the last time I checked it on Thursday. And I mean, some of them weren't too pretty. They weren't. But most of them were pretty positive. 111 comments. There were all kind of comments there. Jesus is a great man, some said. Jesus, some said, is not real. I think Mark replied to that one. Jesus is a wonderful moral model. Jesus is an enlightened religious teacher. Jesus is a lunatic. Jesus is an esteemed prophet. Jesus was a great teacher. Jesus is blah, 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 blah. Somebody said, who is he? This is who he is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. So number one, that's the introduction, and now we're in trouble because we're all trying to stay on a short timeline here, which is almost impossible for preachers to do. He's eternally God. Jesus is eternally God. John starts talking and he talks about in the beginning. So he's going all the way back to the book of Genesis. Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Jesus is being recognized as being there in the very beginning. The Word was there. And it means that he was there and he was in continued action. The Word means continued action. It could have read this way. In the beginning was continuing the Word, and the Word was continuing with God, and the Word was continually God. What beginning? Well, the Greek says the Alpha and the Omega, and we know the Alpha is really, there is no beginning in time in the beginning, or the Omega is the end, but it really, there is no end. It's time and eternity. Somebody says, well, there has to be a beginning somewhere. Can I tell you how good Jesus is and how good the Word Jesus is? It's wherever you want to start. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Jesus. Where do you want to begin? For those of you that may not know Him this morning, how would you like to get started with Jesus today? Your beginning with Him would be right now. For those of you that already know Christ, and maybe your relationship with Him is current, but maybe you could bump it up a level and continue to get to know Him. Well, where do you start? Right now, in the beginning. Some of you may be struggling this morning and you're in this trial and you don't know what to do. The principle here about the Word of God since eternity and time is Jesus, the Word, was with God the Father and the Son. He was there. And the Holy Spirit, He will meet you where you are. Where are you this morning? Where are you mentally, emotionally, spiritually? Where are you? Having a good season, having a bad season? You in a valley, you on the mountaintop? Are you being naughty or nice or any of the? Jesus will meet you where you are. That's your beginning. In the beginning. And we know that the Greek word there was logos or logos. Now, the Holy Spirit, God is so smart. Duh. Most of the world knew Greek. Thus comes Jesus. Thus come the early church. They could evangelize the world. The Bible, New Testament was written in Greek. But John chose the word logos because, one, the Hebrews, the Jews would understand what that meant, and the Greek world would know what that meant. For the Greeks, it meant a stabilizing, governing force. And I thought about this, and don't go wacky on me. The force be with you. That might have been the wrong force. Jesus is the force. But it was a stabilizing, governing force. It was the force in the world, the logos, that gives everything meaning and purpose. And Greek people and Greek-speaking people would know that. It was the controlling power for the Israelites or the Jew or the Hebrews. It was the Word of God. It was all the things God had done in the past. It was God's actions. It was God revealing Himself to the people. It was the Word. That's who Jesus is. It gave the Israelites purpose. That's who Jesus is. He's not only the Lord, and He's the Logos. He's the truth. He's the way and the truth and the life. He's the one that'll save you. Nobody else will. The scripture said there's one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And I can repent of my sins and I can confess my shortcomings and I can invite Christ in and be Lord and Savior of my life. And by the way, He's the Logos. This world seems out of control and out of order, and to many, many ways it is, even in our own country. But let me tell you who's not out of control. The Logos is not out of control. The Logos has still got this thing. The name of Jesus is still powerful. God has been caught off guard. Jesus is still King of kings and Lord of lords. And if you're walking with Him this morning, He's got this. He's got this. He's still in control. And you said, I need purpose. I need meaning in my life. Jesus not only gives eternal life, the Logos gives meaning and purpose. Oh, you may do a number of things for a living. You may have a number of occupations, but the one that gives you purpose is the Logos, is the Savior, Jesus Christ. Go ahead, give the Lord a hand clap. He's the controlling power. John knew that people would know what he was saying. Jesus is equally God, and I'll just touch this one quickly. We could do a study on it and talk about it for quite some time. Another version says the Word is literally face to face with God. When you do some of the word studies on that. In other words, Jesus is separate and distinguishable from God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. We call that the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity. Now, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. But there's many, many contexts that talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you go back to Genesis 1:26, it says this, in the beginning, watch this. This is God speaking, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Now the word there is our. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus was there in the beginning. And in fact, it's a plural word that you find most of the time, especially in the early writings of Genesis, Elohim. And it's always plural. Jesus is equally God. That separates us from another. No, there are certain religions that teach Christ, but they say God created Christ. That's bad theology. Because if somebody created Christ, Christ can't save me. Because only God can save me. There's other religions that say he was a good teacher. Well, if that's all he was, he can't save me because only God can save. Right? And we could take some time there. I want to hit it. But I want you to know that Jesus is equally God. There's God the Father, God the Son Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And you can read it from cover to cover. Study it yourself and see what you find out. Hit that point quick, but last, but not least, and not over yet, so don't get in a hurry. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is essentially God. Everything that you say about God the Father can be said about the Son. You can read this as you read through John 15 through 17 and 18, and you can find it in all the other scriptures. Jesus said over and over when people were asking him questions about who he was, he said, well, if you know the Father, you know me. Some of the old descriptions was the three in one. The Trinity. So they're together and they're united, and yet they're separate. Jesus over and over, and put a star in your notes on this one. Unlike any other religious leader in history, ever. You think him up? Jesus himself, multiple times in the scripture, said he was God. When Jesus came to earth, he declared himself God. Not a little g God, not God-like, but God incarnate, the creator of heaven and earth. Verse 3 even says it. Jesus is the creator of the universe. We read it this morning. John, in writing the Revelation in 4:11, said, Jesus, O Lord, you're worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And I have six scriptures. I don't have time to read them all this morning. Colossians, and I think we have that one to put up. Colossians 1, verses 15, in speaking of Jesus, said this, that Jesus is not the only the creator. It says this, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him, Jesus, all things were created. There it is. You can find it over and over and over, church. For in Christ, in Jesus, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things, everybody say all things, have been created through him and for him. And I love this. He is before all things, and in him, everybody say all things hold it together. That's who Jesus is. He is God. He was there in the beginning. He's equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He is God. That's who Jesus is. Who do you think Jesus is? What do you really think? What have you really believed? All these years. If he's the Savior and he's God and he loves you, where does he fit in your list of priorities? He's not just a good teacher. He's a good teacher. He's not just a prophet. He was and he is. He's not just a good man. He is. But he's not just that. He's God. He's the Savior of the world. Many of y'all have heard of C.S. Lewis. He wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian, the Screwtape Letters. There were movies made about it. He was a great, not just a great Christian writer, but a great Christian theologian in the 20th century. And I couldn't help but use this quote from him in his book, Mere Christianity. Some of you may have read that one. Lewis wrote, "I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus." Here's what they're saying. He's quoting them. "I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God." I've heard that many times. Then Lewis goes on to say, "That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said that sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else is a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to." C.S. Lewis. Either he is who he says he is or he's not. What if I come in and said, "I'm God"? Bye. No, you'd go, "Bicycle." That's who he claimed to be. And that's who he is. I said, that's who he is. Our Jesus is God. Almighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. The Lion of Judah. The precious Lamb of God. Slain, the scripture says, from the foundations of the earth. Crucified later. Buried in our sins. Buried with him. Rose on the third day. And because he rose and he died and he died and he rose, we, our sins have died with Jesus. Therefore, we can live with Jesus, with God, the King of all kings, the Savior, a precious treasure. Precious treasure. Hallelujah. What does that mean to you personally? It means quickly that Jesus has the power to help. We've read the scriptures. He can help you in the little things. He can help you in the big things. He can, look, if he can save your soul, he can do anything. He has the power to help. It means that God cares for us. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He loves you this morning. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He cares about you. Well, I haven't been that good. He still loves you. He cares about you. Actually, for some of you, he's trying to hem you in on the right side, or he'll hem you in on the left side, or he'll roadblock some of you. Jesus is good. He has the power to help. Amen to that. But he loves us. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:18 says, "Cast your cares on him, because Jesus cares for you." Cast your cares on him. Cast your worries on him. Cast your anxiety on him. He cares for you. And his plan is to give all mankind that will receive him as Lord and Savior eternal life, everlasting life. There's no viruses there. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no pain in heaven. There's no heartache in heaven. There's no pressure in heaven. There's no anxiety in heaven. Woo! If you like hot dogs, they'll be heavenly hot dogs. If you like filet, get ready. Amen. The Mexican food will be heavenly. It will be worth it all when we stand before the Savior who's been God since the beginning of time, who loved us enough to save us and wash us clean. It will be worth it all, the old song says, when we see Jesus. It will. And He has a plan for our life. Don't forget that. Don't you forget that. He has a plan for everybody in this room. I could talk about that for 45 minutes, but my hot dogs are overcooking. Don't forget He has a plan for your life today. In 1799, Conrad Reed, 12-year-old farm boy in North Carolina. Farmers, he and his family, father, brothers. He didn't have a fishing pole back then. Darla thinks I've got way too many fishing poles. I don't think I have enough. It's like golf clubs. You need one for every... You always need a new fishing rig. Focus, Dale. He's fishing, but he's fishing with a spear. He throws a spear at a fish in this little creek on the family farm. It hits a rock. He goes to get his spear in the creek, and there's this big gold rock. Yeah. It actually weighed 17 pounds. For several weeks, you know, because they didn't live close to town, he just set the rock on the front porch. Commented on the pretty rock, how beautiful the rock was, how shiny the rock was. Told the story to a few neighbors. There weren't many neighbors close by because... So his father decided, you know, when he's going to town to get supplies, all the basics they needed. Fayetteville, he went to Fayetteville, North Carolina. He takes the rock with him and he goes to see a jeweler. I wish I'd heard the jeweler's side of the story. The jeweler said, I want to buy your rock. What do you want for it? He said, I'll give you whatever you want for it. He didn't say too much about the rock. I mean, he looked it over close. He said, I want to buy the rock. What do you want for it? John Reed, Conrad's father, sold that 17-pound piece of gold, solid, for $3.50, which even then wasn't a whole lot of money. Today that rock would be worth over $400,000. It kind of made me think I need to go fishing more often. John Reed, the father, learned some days later, not too long later, he made a huge mistake. Now, when you hear that kind of story, I don't know about you, but it kind of puts a pit in my stomach. Like, come on, dude, make him... At least give him, make a living, but come on, man. Come on, man. So he continued to farm, but you know what he began to do on the side? Every chance he got, him and his son Conrad to go to the creek to hunt for more gold. To make a long story short, they finally found so much gold, they had made a mine. And they, the same year, found a gold nugget. Now get this, 28-pound gold nugget. They became very wealthy. Now, we may think, I don't know what thoughts you had of the jeweler. You may have thought he was a crook. cheat. Or maybe you're like me, well, he could have done a little better. Come on, man. I don't know what you thought of him. I don't even know what John and Conrad thought about him. But I tell you what, that jeweler sure taught me a few lessons when I read that story. You know, sometimes you look for the lessons in the things you see people do right, and we should. But sometimes you think people's doing something wrong, you can usually learn a lesson or two for them too. Does the jeweler know he had a treasure? The jeweler knew he had to have that treasure. And the jeweler offered to pay whatever price John Reed wanted. We need pause daily, weekly, and in a service like this to ponder and think and sit and realize what a treasure we have in Christ. And in our spirit, say, Lord, I just want you. I want to know you. I want to walk with you more richly. If you don't know him, I want you to be my Savior. But to realize the treasure we have in Jesus and want him more every day and being willing to pay any price to know who Jesus is in your life. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly. Sing it. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. Nothing I desire compares with. Let's stand together. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. Nothing and we exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, O God, we exalt thee, Oh, and we're going to sing, "Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh." I'm going to have Pastor Jill come up, but listen. I don't know about you, and there were some really positive things about being away from the building, even in her own family. But boy, it sure did help me to value and treasure the church. You're the church, not the building. I said, "Dear Lord, I sure do miss the people. I miss the church. And what a treasure You are. And even greater than that, and I'm still pondering as I sit by my fireplace every morning, Lord, don't ever let me just get so busy that I ever forget what a treasure You are." He's a treasure. And You're a treasure this morning. Sometimes things have to be taken away a little bit from us before we realize how much we value what we had, right? And that's good. It's good. So, love you all. Is there anybody here before I leave that needs to make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life? You said, "I want to make that commitment today." You can slide your hand up. Okay. Hey, love y'all. Pastor Jill is not only going to close in prayer, she's going to dismiss you in social distancing style. And I'll see you out front. Oh, too, thanks for all the kind birthday stuff. Y'all made my birthday last about 2 weeks. And I don't know if that makes me a little older, but anyway, love y'all dearly. See you next Sunday. See you Wednesday on our Zoom Bible study.